Well, good morning, everybody.
It is the prayer closet right now. Time to get up to pray. That's right. We need to pray today. We need to get our day started, our week started right by praying, getting into God's word and getting into prayer. And that's what the prayer closet is all about. We want to pray for you. So we take this half hour every day to come to you and give you the opportunity to get the prayer that you need and have other people praying for you. You can literally have hundreds, thousands of people praying for you right now. There's people listening in. They join in with these prayers and join in with us to lift up these prayers before the Lord. So if you have a need today, let's hear from you. We want to pray for you. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is the number to call. Or you can email or text at prayer@yeshome.com. Let us know what your need is today so we can pray for you. We can give you the help that you need. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that, especially if it's something, you know, sometimes these are personal things. We understand, but we also want you to get that prayer that you need. So you don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. Just let us pray for you today. 419-389-0893. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have to come together to pray for one another, to lift each other up in prayer, to encourage one another with prayer, to help one another with prayer, and also to know that you are always there ready to meet our needs. Always there ready to help us, always ready to strengthen us, always ready to provide everything that we need. So we thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you, we can put our faith in you, we can put our hope in you, we can be restored in you. We thank you, we praise you, we celebrate you this day, Lord, because you are a good and faithful and gracious God. And Lord, we pray that as you move in our lives, as you move in our hearts, as you strengthen us with your power and your might, Lord, that we would give glory to your name. We would exalt you, we would praise you as we should. Because you are a good and gracious God. So we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you this day. And pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, if you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into prayer, we always like to get into the Word of God and just kind of get our day started out right and get ourselves focused and ready for prayer. Get our hearts focused on the Lord and be ready for prayer. And because it got me thinking, you know, about our relationship with God. And really in two ways. And we'll look at one way today and one way tomorrow. Because part of it is about who gets in and who gets out. That's a big debate. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But first, before we get to the who gets in and who gets out, we begin by ranking the teams, right? We begin by ranking who's better and who's worse. Right? We're ranking on, you know, all kinds of, you know, they have all kinds of metrics they use. Defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency, how many quality wins they have, bad losses, all kinds of stuff they look at. And they do all this debating, and it's a lot of, you know, arguing back and forth. But it all comes down to who's better, right? We're making choices. We're making choices about who's better and who's worse. We're making value judgments on these teams based on what they have done and who they are. And a lot of times it's based on reputation. You know, a lot of people think that like teams like Duke or North Carolina, they kind of get the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they've had some offseason, but you know, they're always going to get the benefit of the doubt because they're Duke and North Carolina. They win a lot and they always get a good read. Whereas other teams that might be newer stuff, they don't get as much credit. Maybe they get undervalued and, you know, things like that. I was thinking about that because sometimes I think this is how we are in life. We can be like this with each other. We can start judging and valuing the people around us. Who's better and who's worse? Now, I'm not talking about having a discerning spirit here. Sometimes I think we mistake, you know, not being judgmental or making judgments about people with not being discerning. We need to have a discerning spirit about us. There are people around us who might not be good to, you know, they may not be a very trustworthy person. You know, understanding that and realizing this is not a very trustworthy person, so there's things that I don't need to tell them or they don't need to know because I can't really trust them. That's not really being judgmental. That's just being discerning. Right? That's just the reality of it. So, you know, we do that all the time, especially the parents with kids. You know, you have certain kids that are more mature than others, and certain kids can be entrusted with certain things. Other kids can't. I mean, you make these judgments all the time. So we're not talking about that, having a discerning spirit. But when we start making judgments about whether people are good or not, when we start making judgments about their value and their worth, because that's really what they're doing in the basketball tournament. What's the value and worth of these teams? And we start judging the value and worth of people. And the problem with that is that the standard we use is often flawed and wrong. There's always a debate in the NCAA tournament about the standard they use. How are they evaluating these teams? What standard are they using to determine who's good or who's bad? And that's always a big point of contention and debate. And it's true when we start evaluating others. What standard are we using to evaluate these people? Unfortunately, I don't think it's the standard that God uses. You know, it tells us in the book of Samuel, it tells us that, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, God's making values on people based on their heart, but we often make values based on lesser things, on less important things, on superficial things. James chapter 2, it says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the good man, or to the poor man, 'You stand here, sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" And notice what he says there at the end. Judges with evil thoughts. The problem was not necessarily that they made a judgment, but that they made a judgment with evil thoughts. They didn't make a judgment based on godly things, based on what's important and what matters. They made a judgment based on superficial things, external things. One guy's rich, one guy's poor. We're going to take the rich guy and treat him special, and the poor guy's like, "You just stand over there, just, you know, try to stay away. You go hang out with the rest of the riffraff over there." But here's the thing. Is the rich guy a good guy? Is the poor guy a good guy? Are they both bad guys? We don't know. All we know is one's rich, one's poor. A lot of rich people aren't very nice, aren't very good, do lots of bad things. A lot of poor people are good people. They're kind. They're godly. You know, the fact that one's rich and one's poor doesn't tell us anything about their character. It doesn't tell us anything about who they are. It doesn't tell us anything about their relationship with God. Maybe the good rich guy is good. Maybe the poor guy is kind of bad. But even then, is it reason to separate them out and treat them differently? As James points out here, you're basing a judgment here based on nothing that has anything to do with character or godliness or what's good or what's right or what's holy. It's all outward appearance. This guy's rich and, you know, we want to make sure we stay on his good side because he's got money. And that guy's poor, so he's not worth our attention because he doesn't have anything to give us. You know, it's a selfish judgment. And we can fall into this trap in our lives of judging the people around us based on these things, based on superficial things. How many times have you seen someone or maybe, you know, just kind of seen them from afar, you know, not really gotten to know them, just kind of you see them, maybe they, you know, go to the same school as you or something or they're at work and you never really talk to them, but you just look at them. You're like, oh, you can just tell just by looking at that person, they're stuck up. They're going to be a jerk. They're going to be, I can just tell just by looking at them. And then have an occasion to talk to them. And you have occasion to get to know them. And you have an occasion to interact with them. And all of a sudden you find out that they're nothing like what you thought. They're not arrogant. They're not stuck up. They're very nice. They're nothing like what you really thought they would be. What was happening? You were making a judgment based on the external things, but once you got to know them, once you got to meet them, once you got to interact with them, you realized this is who they really are. And all the judgments I was making before were false. They weren't really good judgments. We've probably all had that occasion. Maybe you had an occasion, you know, you got somebody you admire and stuff, and you're like, oh, I'd love to meet that person. And then you meet him, and you're like, oh, wow, that was kind of disappointing because they turned out to be kind of a jerk or not very nice. I mean, it can work a lot of ways, but the fact is we don't really know and we don't really understand these people. We're making superficial judgments about them, and it's only when we get to know them and really understand them and understand where they're coming from and who they are that we can really begin to make informed, thoughtful, godly judgments about who they are. You know, I have one of the pastors I work with. He has a great saying. I love this saying. He says, anytime anybody asks him, is so-and-so a Christian? His standard response is, I don't know, give me 10 years with him. Give me 10 years with them. Let me see what this person's like. Let me really get to know this person. Let me really get to understand this person. Let me really get to be with this person. See what they're like. Then I'll tell you whether they're really a Christian, a follower of Christ, or just playing a game or going to church or putting on a show. This point is you need to spend time with people if you're really going to get to know them and understand who they are. But when we make quick judgments, we don't really know what we're judging. We're just making a snap judgment and boom. Now, lots of people are going to fill out their brackets for March Madness. Some will sit down and do all kinds of homework and study, and they'll learn about these teams. And, you know, they'll make judgments based on, all right, this, you know, team is really good in this area, and this team is really good in this area, and I think they'll be able to, you know, because of that, I think this matchup really favors this other team, and they'll break it down and analyze it, and it'll be great. Other people are going to look and go, I like this team's colors better than the other. I'm going to pick them. Jessica's laughing because that's how she picks hers. She's like, I like their name. They have a pretty mascot. He's fun. I'm going to pick them, right? One is making a deeply informed judgment about, you know, doing lots of research and really getting to know the teams. The other's just very superficial, just whatever. You know, one of the funny things about that, though, is, you know, sometimes those aren't, you know, a lot of difference in those brackets, right? Even the people making really deeply informed decisions don't get the brackets perfect. They probably get them better than the people just randomly picking, but they don't get them perfect. Even they make mistakes. Even they don't really know. And I think as Christians, what we need to understand is even when we're making judgments about people, even when we've gotten to know people, even when we've got to believe we understand who people are, we need to understand that our understanding is limited. Our understanding is limited. We're always going to be limited, even with the people we know the best. God's understanding is not. God reads the heart. God understands who we are at our core. And this is why I think we need to have discerning spirits that trust in the Lord, and why we need to listen to God's word and listen to how he says we're to treat people, that we treat all people as people who bear the image of God with dignity and respect, because God says so, because God tells us to treat people with love, not to show favoritism, not to make judgments. You're never going to really truly know. So treat everybody in a Christ-like way. Treat everybody with awe-filled respect for who they are as a creation of God. Treat everybody as you would have them treat you. You know, all the teachings that God gives us about how we're to treat people and how we're to act toward people, because God knows. I'm telling you right now, God knows who's going to win the national championship in basketball. He already knows. If God were to fill out a bracket, he could nail it perfect 100%. You know, he could win that $1 million that Warren Buffett puts up every year. He doesn't need it, but he could win it. Because he knows. And in the same way, he knows people. And so as we are looking to people and making judgment, we need to follow his guidance and do and judge and treat people in the way that he says, because he's the only one who really knows, and our judgments will always be flawed. We need to pray for discerning spirits, because what's discernment? Discernment is listening to what God tells us about others. Not about what we think about them, but what God is telling us about them. There may be some people that God gives you a discerning spirit about that says, you know, kind of avoid this person. This may be somebody you don't need to be around. You know, God may give you that discerning spirit about that. Sometimes he does need to warn us away from folks who might lead us astray. He might also call you to people that you would never expect to go to. But we need to let him make those judgments. We need to follow his lead. We need to ask him to show us those things. And base our judgments on what he shows us, because he knows, and not make superficial judgments on our limited understanding. We'll come back with a prayer request, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. If it is a prayer closet, 419-389-0893 to get your prayer requests in. We've got a couple requests in, so let's jump right in. All right, so our first one came in a couple days ago. It says, both a praise and a prayer request. Praise that he was able to forgive his wife after an affair. But pray because it is still a daily struggle to forgive Satan, trying to deceive and put, you know, thoughts in his head. Also asking for prayer for means to move back to Ohio to be near her family. Lord, we do want to praise you that you helped this marriage and restored this marriage even after this affair. And we're able to put these two back together and bring healing to this marriage. We thank you for the forgiveness that you placed in this man's heart. And Lord, we pray you'll help him to continue walking in that forgiveness. And we know that Satan wants to come in and bring, you know, resentment back in, jealousy back in, and thoughts back in. But Lord, we pray that you would rebuke Satan, rebuke those lies that he's trying to speak into this man's heart, and help him, Lord, to continue to walk in that gracious and forgiving spirit, and continue to restore this marriage, Lord, and heal this marriage and strengthen this marriage. And Lord, we pray for them to have the means to move back to Ohio, to be near family, to have that support system around them. Lord, that you would provide graciously the provision necessary for that. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And another quest came in. It says, I am currently talking to someone who is suicidal and trying to get them help. I ask for prayer that God takes hold of their heart and they choose to keep living. I don't know them, but I need God to intervene and touch them, to give them strength to lean on him and overcome the trauma they've been through and that brought them to this point. I don't know if I can reach them, but I pray God gives me the words. Lord, we pray for this listener who's intervening in this person's life. Lord, we're believing that you brought them into their life for a purpose, that you placed them in this person's life for just such a moment as this. And that, Lord, you will indeed provide the necessary words, provide, help them, Lord, help them to reach this person, help them to communicate with this person. And we pray for this person who's struggling with these suicidal thoughts, that their hearts would be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would find the hope that you can bring. Lord, that you would turn them from these thoughts of death, from these lies of Satan that are telling them to destroy themselves, and tell them the truth, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, beloved by you, and that they would turn to you and find that hope and healing that they need. So we pray for this listener, pray that you would use them in a mighty way, and through them you would draw this person to you in salvation and save this life and save this soul. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. This has been the Prayer Closet. Remember, you can get your prayer requests to us throughout the day by calling our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's always people here who'd be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. You can email or text your messages to us, your prayer requests to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. Or you can go to our website, yeshome.com, click on the chat now button, and you can get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God bless everybody. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.